Blog Talk Radio.
Portion is good news, good stuff, because we're serving a good God, Almighty God. Hey, welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Louis Beasley, Apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God to all the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus. It's good news, brothers and sisters. I pray that at the end of this message and every message going forward, that you'll get some good news out of it. You know, because you're not condemned. Care what the enemy say. Good news that you have a savior. You have a advocator. You don't have to take it. Somebody already took it for you. Hallelujah. In baseball, they got what they call a pinch hitter. When you can't hit, they put in a pinch hitter. We got one. Christ has hit it out the park for us. I'm going to ask Pastor Bill if she'll give us a word of prayer and get us started for the week, and we'll get into the lesson. Hallelujah. Pastor Bill.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you for that song, Pastor. Amen. So glad the good news is our portion. Amen. And the scripture I like to share is coming from Psalms 23 and verse 6. It says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you today thanking you for all of your many blessings you have given unto us, Father God. We give you thanks today, Father God. We're thanking you that we can all come together and study the word together, that we're able to meditate on your word, Father God. We're thanking you for our pastor who teaches this word, Father God, as he's being led by the Holy Spirit. We're thankful for those who have called in, those who are listening by internet, and those who will participate, Father God. We give you praise, Father God. And Lord, we ask that you would be with all those who've asked us to keep them lifted up in prayer, Father God. You know what they're facing, and you know what they're going through, Father God. To give them a peace of mind, knowing that you are working all things out for their good, Father God. Lord, we ask that you will be with those that are sick and shut in. Your word says, by your stripes we're healed. So, Father God, help us to stand on that word. Help us to say that word, because our words are important. And we're claiming our healing. We're claiming the victory over these things that try to hinder us and weigh us down, Father God. And, Lord, we just ask you to continue to have your way in our life, Father God. Be with those that are going through. You're a way maker out of no way. Help us to trust in you. That scripture said, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto thy own understanding, but in all thy ways to acknowledge you, and you will direct our path. So, Father God, help us to have the word of God in our hearts, Father God, so that when the enemy tries to attack, we can fight back with the word of God. Lord, we give you praise. Now open up our hearts and our mind to receive the word. Bless our pastor as he teaches the word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor.
God bless.
Appreciate
God
that.
Bless.
Wonderful prayer. We're still talking about blind to God's truth. Now, you may not be blind to a lot of things, but blind to God's truth. So take a minute and think about it. Are you blind to his truth? Because if you're blind to his truth, you want to know what's going on. You don't want to be blind to his truth. You know, the last thing you want to do is be in a vehicle with somebody who's blind and they driving. That ain't what you want.
Amen.
That is not what you want. And you don't want anybody blind trying to tell you which way to go, and they blindfolded.
Mm-hmm. Say that.
If our gospel be hidden, it's hidden to them that are lost, and the God of this world have blinded their minds.
Yeah.
Who do not believe. These are, even though they act like, but they're non-believers. Because if they were, they would understand this glorious gospel. They would understand it. So, with that being said, we're going to deal with a lot of things this week. One of them going to be a Christian life. Because a lot of people are blind to the Christian life. And we want to deal with that. And then we want to deal with the law. Because if I'm understanding it correctly, curse is anybody who hangs on the tree. And if Christ is the curse, then it's over. All that stuff is over. And you can't live by the law. So stop, because if you did one thing, if you messed up one law, then you were guilty of all of them. So that's not how you want to live. You want to live on the grace and truth. So you can't practice one and believe in another. That's not how this works. You don't get that. You're not afforded that. If you're going to believe in something, you got to act on it.
Yeah.
You can't do one without doing and trying to do the other. In other words, you can't have two masters. You're going to either love one and hate the one, or love, hate one and love the other. You can't love both of them now. So So we're going to deal with a little of that law stuff this week. Matter of fact, that may take up a lot of what we're going to do this week. So I'm just going to leave it on those two areas. But remember now, the light has come into the world, and man loved darkness rather than light. In other words, they love anything other than the truth because it exposed them, because their deeds were evil. And I keep seeing that over and over. For everyone who practices, they hate the light. And they're not coming to the light. So you can try to figure it out. You're not going to figure it out. You just got to know those people love that stuff, okay? But that has nothing to do with you because you love the Lord, see? And because you love the Lord, you love his goodness. Okay, but I tell you what, let me go ahead and give you a couple of foundational scriptures because people are blind to the law. So let me put that in there first, and then we'll deal with Christianity a little bit so that we can come back to it. In Galatians 3, hallelujah, in Galatians 3 and 10 and 13, Pastor, you had a messenger Bible?
Yes, Pastor.
Okay, let's see here. Okay. You're available to read?
Yes, Pastor.
In Galatians 3 and 10, it reads like this. For as many as are the workers of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is anyone that continue not in all things which written in the book of the law to do them. And the 13th verse reads, Christ have redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree.
Amen. Amen. From the Message Bible. Let's see here. I want to start. Let's see. Who tries to live by his own efforts, independent of God, doomed to failure? Scripture backs this up. Utterly cursed is every person who fails to carry out every detail written in the book of life. And then...
Amen. Amen.
Praise God. And 13, Christ redeemed us from that self-defeating cursed life by absorbing it completely into himself. Do you remember the scripture that says, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree? That is what happened when Jesus was nailed to the cross. He became a curse and at the same time dissolved the curse. And now because of that, the air is clear and we can see that Abraham's blessing is present and available for non-Jews too. Amen.
Amen.
But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. See, we're talking about God's truth. No man is justified in the law of God.
Hallelujah.
It is even for the just to live by their faith. So that's what we're going to talk about. A lot of people, they're blind to that. They, I don't care what you do, you will not be justified. Justified means made right, okay? So let me just go ahead on and put that out there. So that'll be one of the things we'll talk about, probably get into this week. So I just wanted to go ahead on and make that statement. Okay, we see evangelists. William have made it Are you able to read Evangelist William?
Yes, Pastor.
Okay, I'm going to get you to read out the King James today. Okay.
Okay.
So let's deal with this Christian part, okay? And we'll talk to y'all some Christians. I mean, basic scriptures. I think I want to start with for foundation for this part. Let's look at Romans 12 and verse 13. Romans 12 and verse 13. Should go to Romans 14. Okay. You have that in the King James?
Yes, Pastor. Romans 12:13. Distributing to the necessities of saints, given to hospitality.
Mm-hmm. Amen. From the Message Bible, don't quit in hard times. Pray all the harder. Help needy Christians. Be inventive in hospitality. Amen.
Amen.
Scripture is from in Romans 14, 1 through 8.
Romans 14, 1 through 8. Romans 14, 1 through 8. Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputation. For one believe that they may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judges another man's servant? To his own master he standeth on fall of, yea, he shall be held holding up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Mm-hmm. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doeth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. Amen, amen.
Amen. Praise God, praise God. From the Message Bible, welcome with arms open fellow believers who don't see things the way you do. And don't jump all over them every time they do or say something you don't agree with, even when it seems that they are strong on opinions but weak in the faith department. Remember, they have their own history to deal with. Treat them gentle. For instance, a person who has been around for a while might well be convinced that he can eat anything on the table, while another with a different background might assume he should only be a vegetarian and eat accordingly. But since both are guests at Christ's table, wouldn't it be terribly rude if they fell to criticize what the other ate or didn't eat? God, after all, invited them both to the table. Do you have any business crossing people off the guest list or interfering with God's welcome? If there are corrections to be made or manners to be learned, God can handle that without your help. Or say one person thinks that some days you should be set aside as holy, and another thinks that each day is pretty much like any other. There are good reasons either way, so each person is free to follow the conviction of conscience. What's important in all this is that if you keep a holy day, keep it for God's sake. If you eat meat, eat it to glory, to the glory of God, and thank God for prime rib. If you're a vegetarian, eat vegetables to the glory of God, and thank God for broccoli. None of us are permitted to insist on our own way in these matters. It's God we are answerable to, all the way from life to death and everything in between, not each other. Amen.
Amen.
And the next teacher I'm going to give you all is going to pretty much sum up what we're talking about, and that's Romans 1:7. Romans 1:7, and then we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 1:2. But first we're going to do Romans 1:7. And let me tell you why I'm giving you these scriptures, because see, people in the past have had all different religious thoughts about what you ought to do and what you shouldn't do. And by, well, we want to just get rid of all of that, okay? It ain't about what you meat you eating. It ain't about that. Well, you can't be saved and you eating pork. You know, that's all these lies. So we got to replace lies with truth. Not with any kind of truth, but with God's truth. And the people are blind to it, so it's going to be important that we stress these things as we go along and minister to other people, okay? So in Romans, what I said in 1:7, first, please.
Yes, Romans 1:7. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, amen.
Amen. You who are, wait a minute, why they doubled that? Okay, let me back up just a little bit here. Through him we receive both the generous gift of life and the urgent task of passing it on to others who receive it by entering into obedient trust in Jesus. You are who you are through this gift and call of Jesus Christ. And I greet you now with all the generosity of God, our Father, and our Master Jesus, the Messiah. Amen.
Amen.
Great.
So God called us. Now, this is the part that Christians got to understand. God called us to be saints.
Amen.
But you ain't a saint until you answer the call.
Amen.
And that's by faith.
Yeah.
And everybody needs to know about it. Not just a few people. Everybody needs to know. And throughout the entire world, they need to know this. They need to know that, yes, I am a saint. I've been called to be a saint. Okay. And then over in 1 Corinthians 1 and 2, 1 and 2.
Yes, Pastor, 1 Corinthians 1 and 2. Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Amen, amen.
Amen. From the Message Bible, I, Paul, have been called and sent by Jesus the Messiah according to God's plan. I send this letter to you in God's church at Corinth, believers cleaned up by Jesus and set apart for a God-filled life. I include my greeting all who call out to Jesus wherever they live. He's their master as well as ours. Amen.
Amen.
Let me begin or introduce this lesson by saying the Christian life begins with the initial experience in which we pass from death unto life. And most people think being a Christian, you just a preacher your hand or you confess Romans 10:19. No. It began when you pass from death unto life. If you don't never die, you still that old person. So you have to die out of self. You have to die out of your ways. You know, yesterday we were talking about attitude. It's the attitude, brothers and sisters. Because, see, if you hadn't died, you still had that same attitude. You haven't allowed Christ to come in and live. Mm-hmm. And it ain't the matter what you've done in the past. God has forgiven us because Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes it. But anyway, so that's the main point right there, or I should say that's the first point. Know that you have to die. Die to self and live unto Christ. Just like Christ died and he became new, it's the same thing with us. So from that point, Christianity is a life to be lived, a continuous development of new life in Christ. So what this lesson teach us is how to deal with this stuff, how to deal with it. The meaning that you're going to deal with it, the development of this new person. See, we've been strong at a lot of things, but we haven't been strong at how to develop that new person that's living in you or in that body. And so that's what the blind side of this is about, that people haven't taught us how to deal with that. You are new, so you start confessing new things. You don't confess the same old things that you did before, because if you have and if you are, then you're not new. You're doing the same thing.
Amen.
You still talk about you stupid, your kids stupid, they dumb. See, those words, let me tell you something. Your words manifest in your body can cause growth, or it can cause, it will stunt your growth. Let me put it like that.
Amen.
What we use. Okay, words are they're like organs. They're tissues. You're gonna either live by what come out of your mouth, or you're gonna be destroyed.
Amen.
For God is concerned, every word that comes out of your mouth should be a representation of him. So we're going to have to put a muzzle on that. I know it's okay. People think, well, it's okay to joke and say, but it's some things you can't say as becoming a new Christian. At some point in time, you got to start developing, because if you don't, you're going to be a gidget. Or midget.
No, okay. Amen.
If you don't never develop, if you don't never eat proper stuff, I mean, you're going to always be like that. So at some point in time, you got to start at least having the mind of Christ, overcoming the world. At some point in time, you got to have attitude. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. At some point in time, you got to know that you've been risen up and you're seated with Christ in the heavenly places. And if you're seated in Christ, why are you talking like that? Why are you saying those things? Mm-hmm. So it's very important to know that, hey, I'm my father's I'm my father's apple of the eye of my father. I mean, when you see me, you're looking at God's child. Yeah. I don't care what the outside looks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Amen.
See, that's why I played that song earlier. You got to know what's yours. Grace belongs to you. Grace, kindness belongs to you. You are partakers of a divine nature. That's what 2 Peter 1, 4 said. This is who you are. Listen, brothers, so I can go a step up and tell you, you are an ambassador for Christ. So you can't just say anything. You got to say what Christ would say.
Amen.
Yes.
Yeah.
You called to be saints. You ain't called to be a worldly figure. Mm-hmm. As much as you love sports, or I love sports, the call on my life now is different than the call it used to be. See, and if I never grow, I'm gonna always be operating in the flesh.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's
grow. When you grow, you begin a continual spiritual growth. It's continual. Now, how to maintain that development for the Christian life is what we got to talk about. Because people are blind to it. How do you maintain it? By confessing the word of God. Enough already. I'm going to say what the word of God say I am. I don't care what my mind tell me. I'm going to cast those thoughts down. Every thought, everything that doesn't agree with the word of God, I'm casting it down. I'm going to make my mouth say what the word of God say. I'm going to get in control of this thing.
Yeah.
You got to learn discipline.
Yeah.
You know, got to discipline. The scripture discipline you.
Yes, it does.
Yes.
Amen.
And there's nothing wrong with discipline, Chip. I know it's rare. I know it's rare, but there's nothing wrong with that, because people they misunderstanding at the point of causing people to say things that's not what a to develop you. In other words, you ain't developed if you're going to continue to live like the world. If I can't see any difference between you and my neighbor who don't even profess to be a Christian, why should I believe you're a Christian? I need to know what I'm dealing with. See what I'm saying? I need to know what I'm dealing with. It's about first, let me say this, because when you're misunderstanding the scripture, you're going to misunderstand God's purpose for your life.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
You can't be just opposite of what the scripture is saying what you are. Mm-hmm. You can't do that. Then you're not being what the word of God call you. You're called to be saints. That's what we're called to be. We're called to be saints. Let me touch on that for a moment. A saint is called, it means that he's called to be regenerated, or she's called to be regenerated. She's saved, set apart for God. You've been called to be set apart for God, not to be like the world. The separation of sitting apart takes place at the time of your conversion, at the time when you die and you're living this new life, that's what you've been called for. So God set the person apart for himself. You're special.
Amen.
Amen.
You're special. And you got to see yourself that way. You got to see that God want to use you, but he can't use you in the situation or in the condition you are.
Amen.
So when God calls you to the situation room, when God calls you to the situation room, here's the situation. I want you to be like me. I want you to have my mind.
Yes.
I want you to have my love. I want you to have my grace. I want you to have my faith. The same kind of faith revealed from faith to faith. You're justified. You're made right by my faith. So the Christian life is getting out into the world and showing the world the standard of a Christian life, not inside a building. Uh-oh.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody better duck because I'm finna throw it one more time. The Christian life is not about getting in a building with a bunch of other people. Jesus said, go ye into all the world. We are to take this gospel to the world. That's anything outside of Christ, not outside of your building. See, that should be the standard right there.
Yes.
It is a life at its best, a life at its best. Is a life of joy, a life of God's peace. For example, in our conduct, we act and the deeds others should be able to see Christ in us, because the Bible says Christ in you is the hope of glory.
Amen.
I want to say this too, because the life of a Christian has only one code of ethics, okay? And the Word of God is that code. It's what the Word says. That's your code of ethics. So being a Christian means Christ in you is the hope of glory. You've been separated. You've been set apart according to the Scripture. So when you read 1 Corinthians 1 and 2, you see that you've been called, meaning that, you know, but have you answered the call? Or are you saying you answered the call? See, Christianity is not something to accept intelligently. Let me put it to you that way. But something that changed your heart. It has a powerful effect upon your moral character, your desires.
Yes.
I mean, I understand somebody want to be a Christian, and they was hateful before they said they knew Christ. And that's another thing, too. Put a pin there, because they got a lot of retard, so-called Christian. I don't even know what to call them. But they was better off before they got saved.
Amen.
They're more jealous now. They're more sneaky now. Before they began to profess who Christ was, they worse now than they were before. They should never stop proclaiming Christ.
Have mercy.
Yeah.
But anyway, we should live a life of devotion, okay?
Amen.
And I'm going to say this, and if the Lord tell me to go further, I will. But I want to start by saying that the Christian life began by turning from the old life and trusting in Jesus Christ as your Savior. It is a decision now made by the free will of a person. And that's called repentance. That's not a bad word. That meant you turned and you went the other way. According to Matthew 9 and 13, they had to repent. In other words, they stopped going the way they went and started going a different direction. They recalibrated their GPS. See, that's what they did.
All right.
God, they were going the wrong way. So the life, the Christian life begins like that, okay? It's a new birth.
Amen.
And I'm not going to try to explain it. I'm not going to apologize for it. I'm going to be unapologetic, if you want to say. You got to get born again, okay? And it has to be by the word of God, which once you get born by that word, there's going to be a change. That word is a seed, and it's called the incorruptible seed. Now, I read that.
Yeah.
Maybe I let you. So you'll know, born again is not shouting. Born again is not waving banners. It's not a change of mind, like some people want to. It's actually a new birth. Like something never exists before. So if you're not operating at that level, you got to go back. That's all. That's why I like cars to have reverse.
Yes.
Because you pull into a spot and you want to, you know, you ain't quite, you know, there, or you ain't close enough to the curb, or you're too far, or you're too close. You can put it in reverse.
Amen.
Yeah.
For the drivers, you know, everybody may not understand it, but for the driver, if you back up in the place and you missed it, you pull up in the spot, you know that you got to reverse. You can back out of it and try it again. See?
That's right. Amen.
There's a Buick commercial that said that's so you. No, it's so you when you have the right to that. Back in and pull back up and try it again. That's you right there. But when you don't have no choice, you got to go with it. No. But let me tell you this, and then I'm going to open it up. In 1 Peter 1:23, I want y'all to hear this. Don't just listen, but I want you to hear it. Hear what it say, and then tell yourself. Sometimes you got to talk these scriptures out, okay? Now, that's a nugget right there. You got to start talking down. You hear them, but then do you really hear them? See, so the way you really hear them is talk them out to yourself. So it'll make spiritual understanding to you. Don't worry about it making sense, because it will not make sense, because it's not sense. They're scripture. So they have to be to your man understanding, okay? That's the way that's going to work. But in 1 Peter 1:23, could you read that for us, Evangelist William?
Yes, Pastor. Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Amen, amen.
Amen. Praise God. From the Message Bible, your new life is not like your old life. Your old birth came from mortal sperm. Your new birth comes from God's living word. Just think, a life conceived by God himself. That's why the prophet said, the old life is a grass life. Its beauty as short-lived as wildflowers. Grass dries up, flowers droop. God's word goes on and on forever. This is word that conceives the new life in you. Amen, amen.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Lord.
That's what Christianity is about. It's getting that new birth and how it happens. See, a lot of people tell you, you ought to get born again, but they can't tell you how. You just heard how you get born again.
Amen.
Is that what you heard, Pastor?
Yeah.
Is that what you heard, Pastor?
Amen.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And he said, what we do, Evangelist William, what did he say we need to do?
I didn't understand the question, Pastor.
The question is, what did that scripture say we need to do?
Be born again. And live it in the body of God. Of the word of incorruptible sin.
Yeah, the incorruptible seed. Seed. See, that means our father's seed and your seed and my seed is corrupted because that's of the flesh. Mm-hmm. But God's seed is incorruptible. So when we get born again, it has to be by that incorruptible seed.
Amen.
Amen.
At least that's how I see it.
Yeah.
A lot of people want to say they're born again. They want to talk it, but they can't walk it. You have to be born again by the incorruptible seed. You have to get born again.
Mm-hmm.
That's a huge word, again. That means that's a do-over. Again is like a do-over. Huh?
Yeah.
That's right.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a do-over. So your spirit has to be redone over. Well, how is that done? That word. You keep pumping that word. Then you will have a taste for that word. You have a desire for that word. You become a word-level person because that becomes your nature now. See, that becomes, that's the new nature. The new nature is the word of God.
Amen.
That way. You want to do what it says. You want to operate in that. But I'm going to leave it there. Let somebody have any comments. Anybody have any comments or anything they want to share, press one. But we're going to deal with this law. Woo! I can't wait till we get into that tomorrow. Because you're going to see the law is a curse. So people are practicing cursing things, man.
Amen.
Because they want the works of the law. See, when you practice giving money, that's a curse. A lot of times people, they don't want to hear it. But, see, when man sin, wait a minute. I'll hold up for a second here. Okay. 7-3. Is this Evangelist Renee? Okay. 7300.
Good afternoon. Yes, it is me.
All right.
I just had to share Thursday. Was it Thursday? Yeah, it was Thursday. We had a storm that knocked out our power. Our power is still out. Therefore, we had to, no water, no electric. So therefore, we had to leave the house. We had to relocate. Thank God we had a place to go to where people didn't mind opening up our house, opening up their house, feeding us, just taking good care of us. God is good. He is a provider. I couldn't have seen that storm Thursday, what it did, all that damage. Mm-hmm. And here it is Monday, and we still don't have power over there. So therefore, all our food is going to be have to be thrown out.
Oh, wow.
It's something else. But I know God working it out. He's working it out. He got a plan. And I'm standing in his word.
You stand on Romans 8:28. Stand on it. Romans 8:28.
The devil really wants the O out my door, but he can't have it.
He can't have it.
I'm gonna have my joy. I'm gonna have my joy.
Amen.
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
He is a provider, and he is provided.
Yes.
All you have to do is believe, claim it. He'll work it out.
But he got more than that. He got more than that for you. He's taking that same thing, and he's going to work it for your good. You watch. That same thing that meant for evil, he's going to turn it into goodness for you.
Amen.
And watch it.
Amen.
Yeah. A lot of times we got to understand that God's going to take those things and turn it. Because he knows his thought for you. He knows his plan for you.
Yeah.
So ain't nothing going to stop this. Ain't nothing going to stop this.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Not one day have I missed my word at noon.
All right, man.
Praise God.
Yes.
And I thank God for Pastor Bell, because I was in a meltdown, and she talked me right out of that meltdown. I just love my pastor, big sister. She's just awesome.
Praise God.
That's
Amen.
Where she is.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Call on her life. I have to call her.
Praise God. God be the glory. Amen. Praise God. Yeah, he's working it out.
I wanted to share. He's working it out for sure.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Evangelist Renee, for that. We appreciate it.
Amen. Praise God. And that 1 Peter 1, verse 23, reading it out of the New Living Translation, it says, "For you have been born again, but not to a life that will quickly end. Your new life will last forever because it comes from the eternal living word of God." Amen.
Yes.
Amen. And I just like to comment on that because of God's word. And it says eternal living word of God. So that means it'll live on and on within us, and it'll sharpen our awareness for our walk to walk closer to the Lord and to be in his word daily. Because I know that has made a difference in my life, being in God's word daily. And
Amen.
Having anything to do with any title, it is about being close to God and wanting to live a life pleasing unto him. And because of that, makes me aware that I'm going to have to stand before God. I'm going to have to give an account to God. And so being in word daily helps that. And as the scripture says, we're not born of that old life. We're new in Christ. You know, we've been born again through the word of God. That's how we are born again. That's our new life in Christ. So this scripture is dear to me, as all of them are, but as Pastor was bringing it out, and I went to the New Living Translation, and it lets us know, again, the scripture reads, "For you have been born again."
Yes.
So that means born again, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Amen. Then it says, "But not a life that will quickly end. Your new life will last forever because it comes from the eternal living word." That lets me know right there, God's word lives. God's word is alive. Because it says, "Living word of God." Amen.
Yes.
And you know, when that word is in us, It sharpens our awareness that we have a walk, a spiritual walk with the Lord. And when that is inside of you, it just bubbles out, just mm-hmm. bubbles forth. Amen. Mm-hmm. And so I just thank you for the word of God. And it keeps me aware and teaches me how to treat my brothers and my sisters. Amen. Yes. And, you know, I thank God for the word and thank God for this word that we can tap in every day, the word at noon. Amen.
Yes. Amen. And
make us stronger. Amen. Praise God.
Nothing like free speech. Nothing like it. To be free, man. The word of God is free.
It is.
You got a right free. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. Amen. I'm glad we ain't being charged because we sure couldn't afford it.
Amen.
Yeah. That's true. With a $50 line, $100 line, $10 line, I wouldn't know what line to get into. I probably wouldn't jump in the $100 line, but that's what people are blind. See, people just blind to the truth, man. Mm-hmm. So if it's free, let it be free. Don't attach it to me. Stop trying to attach the word of God to your tradition, to man tradition. No, the word of God is free. Need to be free.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Amen. Like my sister say, we ain't going to let the devil take the O out of our joy. Amen. Mm. Greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. Amen.
Come on, preacher. You're preaching now.
Praise God.
That's what you do, Evangelist Renee, every time. Get these folks fired up.
Yes, she does. Amen. Amen.
Anybody else? Anyone else? Hallelujah. Yeah. It's good. Good.
Amen.
Well, if not, hey, we're going to see you all on tomorrow for the word.